we may receive life from above. Lord, it is not by our human knowledge, neither is it by our understanding or strength that we come before you today. We pray, Lord, that by the unction that you have given, your word will go forth in truth and in the power of the Holy Spirit to bring conviction in our hearts, to bring mercy, Father, for a change in our hearts at the mention of your word. Lord, we pray that we'll be made whole even by what we hear. Let it be words of life and not of death, O Lord. Father, we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray as your servant, Lord, that I may decrease, that Christ may increase, that Jesus may be exalted and be seen of all men. Lord, I pray for your unction to speak as your oracle this morning. And that, Lord, having spoken your word, that I too will be blessed of you, O Lord. Not just be somebody to point others to the way, not being in the way myself. So by your mercy, Lord, I pray that I myself will be in your way, O Lord. That we all, as your body, as your church, Lord, at the very end, will receive your commendation. Well done, good and faithful servants. So we pray, help us to speak truth to ourselves, challenge one another in your word, and live for Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. Since we don't have any ushers today, can somebody please get me a bottle of water? Thank you. Can somebody remind us of what we talked about last week? Sister Stacy? And why are the names of God important? And what do they speak of about God? What do the names of God speak of about God? Pass it to Sister Tong. And she'll say she wasn't here last week, right? Okay. Good excuse. Still pass it to her. Can I ask in a different way? Okay. The names of God, they say something about his what? That's it. His character. His character. And so through his names, which he has given to people in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, to call him by, to know him by, we know certain aspects of him. No man can know the entirety of God. We only know a little bit here, a little bit there. Okay. I know you have it, you know, because I saw you taking good notes last week. So, Sister Tong. Yeah. I'm going to ask you another one. That was it. Because if you told me you weren't here, I will tell you, why didn't you listen to the message? Listen. Online, yes. You don't know the websites? Okay, but Brother Kunle is there also. Okay. So you have no excuse, really. Okay, good. So, Tommy, you were here last week. What names of God did we talk about?
That we talked about was, we talked about Jehovah, Yahweh, one of them, God, the provider. And then when God identified himself as I am.
Very good. Mommy Ali.
I was not here last Sunday, but one of the names is I am that I am.
So how did you know?
My friend, I looked at my friend's
name. Okay. So what does I am that I am mean? She didn't take that note.
Yes,
okay. So, Yes, what does it mean? You only spoke it in another language. You haven't given us the meaning yet. Sorry?
I don't know.
Okay. Sister Success.
I am that I am means I am who I say I am. That whatever I say I am, know that I can do it, and I can even do more than that. And last week we learned that...
No, we haven't left I am that I am.
Okay, we've not learned. Okay. I am that I am.
Because what you said is, because I said it, I can do it. But it's more than that.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I know that's what you said. It's more than that.
It's more than that.
Remember something that Jesus said. Before Abraham
I am.
I am. What was he talking about?
That means from the before the beginning of the beginning.
That is it.
He has been the beginning.
He's the self-existent one. He's outside of time.
That's all.
That is why we call him Alpha and Omega. He encompasses. So before Abraham's existence came into being, he had always been.
Yes.
He always will be. And is ever present. So he is eternal. That's what it means. He was before time began. Mm-hmm. After time ends, he still will be. That is why we never say he was. Mm-hmm. That is why we never say he will be. No. He's I am. Okay, next thing you wanted to say.
Yes. The name of the Lord was so powerful that in those days, the Jewish people, they feared to call him. Remember when he wanted, as children of God, God likes to speak to everybody. He wanted to speak to the Israelis, everyone to hear, as in not through Moses. But they were so scared of his voice, how powerful he sounds, that everywhere was quaking. They were scared of his name, that they can only write it down. They don't pronounce it because of the reverence they give to him. And because of the fear, they had to change the name, as in start calling him Lord, Master. That's the person that when anything he says is what you do. You cannot say, oh, let me think about it. Mm-hmm. You just have to honor his request or listen to him, because he's the master of your from your head to toe.
Excellent. It was said of tradition that whenever the Jews, you know, they were the ones that wrote the Torah, the scriptures, from one parchment to another. Whenever they wrote the name Yahweh, it was said that the pen with which they wrote it, they will break that pen. They will take off their garments, go and have a bath, and then come back to continue again. That was how much they held the name of God in highest esteem. They honored the name of God so much as, like my sister said, they did not want to pronounce the name. They did not want to defile the name. So in many Jewish writings, when you see them write God, they write G-D. Back then, they would not even write the name Yahweh. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself taught us in the prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, what? Hallowed be thy name. So if we see the world taking the name of our God in vain, we shouldn't. We shouldn't. You know how you just say Jesus just for as an exclamation. The name of our God should be honored. We shouldn't use the name of our Lord as an exclamation. But if you are calling upon his name, he will answer. And if he answers, you can't say, well, I didn't have anything to say. He is to be honored, to be exalted. And these names that we talk about, they reflect the character of God. And the ultimate character, which we see in the book of Revelations, is his holiness. You know, when the Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," why does he say, "Verily, verily"? To emphasize the importance. So Christ will say, "Verily, verily." It's like saying, "Sister, listen, listen, listen." So, "Verily, verily," that's what we see there. But when it comes to his holiness, that's the only word that the emphasis is thrice in the Bible. There's no other word in the Bible which is thrice emphasized. The Bible calls his name holy, holy, holy. That is how they call his name in heaven. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy. That's what the angels cry. So we learned of the name Yahweh. What other name did we learn about? Jehovah Jireh. What does that mean?
The Lord our provider.
The Lord our provider, or the Lord will provide. And who said that?
Abraham.
Why did he say that?
Because the Lord provided him the sacrifice in place of his son.
Okay. And how do we know, or what instances have we seen in the New Testament where the Lord provided? We give some examples. Sorry? That was one of our chief examples. When he turned water into wine, we looked at it. Normally in Jewish tradition, when a wedding is held for 7 days. Thank you very much, my brother. Without the glass, just maybe. Thank you. When a wedding is held, a wedding is normally held for 7 days. Throughout the Old Testament, you will see where they had weddings, it was a feast for many days. For you to have a wedding for just one day, it talked about your society and status. And if your wedding is only for one day, two people come and the wine is finished so quickly, you know, it can be a thing of an embarrassment. Mayo celebrated birthday yesterday. We were all there celebrating with her and eating. And let's say Sister BC told us that the rice had finished when just after a few of us had arrived. What would it have been like? Sister BC, how can the rice finish? And that was, but the Lord Jesus Christ, he made a way where there seemed to be no way for them. He provided. He provided. And we also saw in the turning of bread and fish, in the multiplication of bread and fish for the people who are gathered to hear him speak, he provided. What other name did we talk about?
The Lord our
banner.
Those people that honor him.
Very
not
true.
Everybody does anyhow, no.
Yep.
It's only those that reverence him and truly keep his commandment, yep, that he will honor whenever they call him.
My brethren, we are all Christians. Let me emphasize one point, because it will reflect how we live. The Lord's blessings in the Bible, many times we feel they are without condition. But we are wrong. If we read our Bibles very well, Old and New Testament, you will see in many places, if you will do this, I will do this. If you will do this, I will do this. Draw near to me, and I will what? I will draw nigh to you. If you will do this, I will do this. But there are many times God, despite our not doing, still does. Despite, he still does. But we should never take that grace for now a license to not do at all. For those who will hearken to his voice, for those who will hear him, for those who will draw to him, he will be their banner. Just this morning, something, you know, I know that we have something we're talking about, but I just want to take a digression. You know, we've been praying about Nigeria And I want to mention something. You know, it weighed heavily on my mind as we were worshiping this morning. In the book of 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "If my people who are called by my name, if they will first of all humble themselves," if they will humble themselves. You see, the background of this was that the temple, what we call the Temple of Solomon, was being dedicated or had been dedicated. And Solomon went and prayed unto God. He sought God personally and began to pray certain prayers, praying for himself, praying for the people, praying for the temple, praying for his nation. That if his nation sinned and his people should look towards this temple, that God should hear from heaven. And at night, God came to Solomon and told Solomon, "I have heard your prayer. I have heard all that you have said." And God didn't say that, "Well, despite whatever they do, I will always look onto that temple." He said, "If," and that word "if" is a condition, "if my people who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves, if they will turn from their wicked ways, if they will seek my face, if they will pray, then I will hear from heaven." If we are seeking God as a nation and God is not hearing us, there's something that is happening. Maybe we are not fulfilling that condition of "if" to start with. Because you see, when a people come to intercede before God for their nation, unbelievers cannot intercede before God for a nation. It is the people of God who can intercede before God. And if God is not hearing, if nothing is happening, then we need to examine ourselves as the church. There's bloodshed. As we were worshiping, the image that was coming to my mind of our country, Nigeria, was one of Molech. The people who give their children on the altar of Molech for money, for power. The people who seek mammon at any cost, who will sell their parents, who will sell their own brothers and sisters because of money. And that spirit has pervaded and is now even in the church itself, where for the sake of mammon, the souls of men are being sold to the devil. The truth is no longer being preached from the altar. Men are perishing in their sin, and people are rubbing them on their heads, giving them a false god, selling to them something that is not true. And God is saying, if my people, if they will humble themselves, if they will turn from this wicked way, only then will I hear from heaven. I say this because there are times when, no matter how small we are as a people, when we have got to begin to speak truth to authority, speak truth to those we know. You might think that, look, you are just a pebble of sand in a beach. How much impact can you have? But as long as God gives you a voice, you can have an impact to the person around you. The person around you can have an impact to the person until a ripple begins within the nation. Until the people of God change, the bloodshed will continue. Until the people of God turn from their wicked ways, the it's not just "God, hear our prayer, God, hear our prayer." There has to be something within the church that is changing. Pastors who have no love for their congregation, but will fleece their congregation to ride on jets until that changes, nothing will change within the society. Until brethren begin to care for one another, not just come to show how much more I have than you, nothing will change within the society. The church has to change. This church has to change for the nation to change. God is not deaf. God is not deaf. We've been praying. What he's saying, how long will we continue to ask and not change? I digress. The Lord is our banner. And it's very true that the Lord is our banner. Because the Lord goes before us. For any nation that will stand. And you see, there was a time when I used to ask God myself that, Lord, and I've said it before, this tiny island called Great Britain, how did it become so powerful? How did it become this tiny island dominating more than half of the world? Look any modern nation, many of the nations in Africa. Jamaica is a commonwealth of what? Great Britain. Canada was a commonwealth of Great Britain. Australia is a commonwealth of Great Britain. New Zealand is a commonwealth of Great Britain. Many of them still have the what they call the Union Jack, the flag of Great Britain within their own flag. More than half of the countries of Africa, they were colonized by Great Britain, this tiny island. How did it become so powerful? Because it's the same thing that America became after Great Britain. But there was a time when there were people who sought the face of the Lord in that tiny island. There was a time when people sought the face of the Lord that God himself came down in revival upon those islands. There was a time when in this country, America, the wheat fields that we read about, they sought the face of the Lord and revival came upon America. And there's no way when God comes down, the light of God will come down. The knowledge of inventions will come down. The light of advancement will come down. But when you as a people begin to no longer seek the face of God, that light will be turned to darkness. Every generation seeks God for their own. We've read of generations of old. We've read of the revivals of all that has happened. When will we as a nation, as a black people, call down the glory of God upon our countries? For a revival to happen and for men to see that this light is upon our nation. We've been called the third world for too long. It doesn't happen without God coming down himself to making a difference within its people. But I take confidence in his word that sometimes the first will be the last and the last the first. But if we as a people will call upon his name, if we as a people will humble ourselves and will seek his face, if we as a people will turn from every wicked way, God will hear from heaven. His name is called Jehovah Nissi. He's our banner. He's the one who goes before us in battle. He himself says, the battle is the Lord's. Whenever the children of Israel went into battle, it wasn't their soldiers that preceded. Well, who preceded? God preceded. Because the Ark of the Covenant was the one that went before the soldiers. And that is the same for every child of God. If praise in our lives, if prayer in our lives will precede, the Lord will fight our battles for us. It is not for us to fight any battles. You know where you see and you are beginning to box the devil and you are beginning to do gymnastics. You know, they tell you, wake up at midnight, strip yourself naked and begin to say certain prayers. Say those prayers for 1 hour, for 30 minutes. And then at 6 a.m. begin to, all that one is lie. Because you are the one trying to fight your battles yourself. The Lord said, I will fight your battles. When you seek God, when you hold on to him, you will not need to do all the, what these false prophets are telling people to do. You know, I saw one on, somebody sent it on WhatsApp, you know, saying, mark these dates, July something, June something. So people will die. Aeroplane will fall from the sky. This, I say, why is it only the doom and gloom that God reveals to them? I've never seen any of those in which they say, mark this day, the people of God will rejoice. I've never seen one. Please, if you see one, send it to me. Then maybe my heart will be changed. I have never seen one of those prophets. It is always somebody will die, or a nation will come to war, and they say God has revealed it to them. Why is it only doom and gloom that God reveals to them? The only person who I know sees doom and gloom is the God that has come to steal, to kill, and to what? To destroy. Because that is his MO. That is what he sees. And so his soldiers and his people, his own, he will reveal that to them. We are not a people of God who live in fear. We are not the people of God who somebody will tell you, don't go out on this day, don't go out on that day, don't eat food on this day, don't eat food when you get to this parents' house. Or, brethren, oh, only if we knew the God we serve. You know, when we say that the battle is between good and evil, between God and Satan, that's like saying the battle is between an atomic bomb and a firecracker. You know, Banga, you are trying to compare firecracker with not Hiroshima atomic bomb, the modern ones that are 100 or 1,000 times more powerful than what happened in Japan. You are throwing Banga. That is what Satan is. It's only bah, loud, nothing. When you know your God, the Bible says you will do exploits. You will not be moved by one prophet saying, don't do this, don't do that. Don't. For a prophet to talk to you and your father hasn't talked to you is because you are deaf. For a donkey to talk to a child of God, then that child of God must have been very, very deaf. Because the only thing God uses people to talk to you for is to confirm what he himself has said to you. If God hasn't spoken to you and somebody is coming to tell you that God said, first of all, ask God, Lord, is my heart and my ear, are they deaf to you? Because why do we call him Father? The thing a father does is that the father will call the children around, I am going to do this. If anybody would know of what God is doing, it will be first be his what? His children. So if God is going to use somebody external to talk to you, to saying, this is what God is saying, then we have a problem. But the truth is that there are many charlatans that God has not spoken to that are speaking for themselves. And there are many people who are called children of God who are afraid of what these charlatans, what they have said. God has not spoken through them. We cannot be afraid of what the devil can do when we have a father behind us. We can't. His name is Jehovah Nissi. While the storm was raging, Jesus Christ, what was he doing at the helm of the boat? He was sleepy. He couldn't be bothered. If only his children, his disciples, if only they knew. If only they knew. And it's the same thing he's telling us today, brethren. He is still Jehovah Nissi. He hasn't changed. He's still our banner. He's still the one that goes before us. He's still the one that fights our battles. We don't, you know, we don't go helter-skelter, going from one prophet to another seeking prayer. Going from one pillar to posts seeking prayer. If you know your God, call upon him. He's your Father. Jesus, you're my God. You're my Lord. I call upon you concerning this situation and rest it there. Jehovah Nissi. And then he's also Jehovah what? Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. No, we said Jehovah Jireh before. What was the third one we talked about? Thank you. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha is our healer. And we talked about that man with leprosy being healed. We talked about the healing of the waters of Mara. When they had been walking how many days? 3 days in the desert, no water. And then they came to an oasis. You can imagine, you've been expecting, and then you come into your expectation. And you find that the expectation is what? It's bitter. You cannot taste it. You cannot drink of it. And the Lord told them to take of the wood that was around them and throw it into the water. And the waters were healed. And we said, look, God, he's not only interested in healing our bodies. He's interested in healing our situations. When I'm talking about situations, there are many of us that carry baggage. Right from when we were born, baggage of family. Sometimes baggage of gender. Baggage of marriage. Baggage of children. Baggage of parents. Many of us carry things that we need to be healed beyond just our mortal bodies. And the Lord is able to heal. To heal our situations, to heal our lives, to heal our marriages, to heal our homes, to heal our relationships. That is the God we serve. Is Jehovah Rapha. Now, there's something I'd like to add to what we talked about last week, brethren. Because I'm very practical. There's the spiritual and there's the needful. When we know God as Jehovah Rapha, what does he do? Thank you. He heals, right? Okay. Beyond healing, there is an expectation for us as children of God, which not many people talk about, but which God opened my eyes to, and I need to let us know also. There is an expectation of us that what God has provided for us in his word for well-being, we take it and swallow it, just like we'll swallow our vitamins. What do I mean by that? Okay? Healing is needed after bodies are what? Sick. There is also an expectation that you yourself will do certain things so that your body would not get sick. Okay? If you keep on consuming processed foods, you keep on consuming white rice, bread, pasta, red meat in large quantities, sooner or later, you will need Jehovah Rapha. But you see, you're laughing. Something God showed me about the Christian walk is that God's blessings are also accompanied with the fullness of life. And certain things we have to deny our bodies so that we will enjoy that fullness of life. Okay. I looked at the life of some people close to me, and I looked at Brother Mike Oye, who came a few last year, right? Brother Michael is around 76, 77 years old. If you look at his physical feature, the first thing you will think of is maybe this guy is in 60s, looking refreshed. I was telling Sister Tola at the prayer meeting on Friday that Sister Kate, who is the wife of our general overseer, she turned 80 this year. Oh, you were in... Okay, you see the reaction, eh? Because they saw the vitality in this lady when they were at Ekwe, at Liberty. Sister Kate turned 80 this year. Okay. There is something about when you are in the Lord, the renewal of your vitality. And part of that is that there are certain things we too, as Christians, we have got to do. You see, when we talk about spiritual matters, we also talk, the vitality I'm talking about is a spiritual matter also, because God has given us these things in His Word. How do I know this? Okay, let us turn our Bibles to the book of Genesis from the beginning. What God designed as food for man. And I won't be able to finish everything, but this particular aspect I'll talk about and we'll continue later. Genesis chapter 1.
David, you'll be my reader for today. Genesis 1, can you read verse 29?
Genesis 1:29.
Then God said, I give you every seed bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food.
Okay. What did God say will be yours for food? Every plant, every seed, and every fruit. Plant, seed, fruit. Vegetables. Huh? Not every plant. Thank you. Thank you. That's very important. Yes, you're very right. I have to make that correction. Every seed bearing, the fruits of every tree. That one is. Every seed bearing, or every tree whose seed is in the fruit. Okay? Now, let me throw controversy out a little bit. When we go to Costco today and we buy grapes, do we see seed in the grapes? Do you see seed in grapes? There are some that are seed, but there are many of them that are seedless. How do fruits become seedless? Because men have tinkered with what God has done. Me and my daughter, we have that ongoing because she did a research on GMO, and she's like, if they're good, I'm saying, I do not eat them. What I'm saying, in essence, God, in the beginning, gave man vegetables, fruits, herbs, shrubs, and things like that to eat. Now, please, open to Genesis 9 and verse 3. Genesis 9:3. Read.
Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything.
Thank you. Just as I gave you the green plants. When did God give them the green plants? In Eden, in the beginning. And now, he's talking to, who was he talking to? He was talking to Noah. Afterwards, after the flood, why did God cause the flood to be? Because of wickedness upon the earth. God now ordained animals to be part of man's food after the time of God cleansing the earth of wickedness. But God's original plan for man was the green things. In King James, he said he has given them the plants to be their meat. Now God ordained their... What I'm trying to say in this one, research has now found that diets that have a high concentration of meat are more susceptible to heart disease than diets that have a higher concentration of plants. You are a doctor, Abi. You can, that's true, thank you. I'm not lying. Diets that have a higher concentration of meat is eaten by more affluent nations. When I was growing up, well, we had a farm, so we were not the typical ones because I could just go to the farm and take chicken. At the time when many people were poor, eating chicken was a delicacy. But there was a time when many families, you as the children, you are relegated to either the head or not the leg, the shank. You know, after leg of chicken, there's this part now that has no meat. Which even if snake bites that part, it won't happen because there's nothing there. It's only tendon. So you boil the tendon very well, you find some fleshy part, you can eat that. The thigh was for who? Thank you. It was for daddy. It was for daddy. And the gizzard. And then you as the children, you could share whatever was left. The places where there is a high concentration of meat in their diets, those populations have a higher incidence of heart disease in their nation. Japan, they have a high concentration of fish and vegetables in their diets. And they have the highest number of people living, not in bad health, in good health into their 80s, 90s, and 100s. They actually have the highest number of what they call octogenarians and very old people who are very healthy. So God has given us this, and I'm telling you as my brethren, as the people of God, there are certain practices we have to be putting into place so that we do not, our prayer is not just limited to Jehovah Rapha all the time. Jehovah Rapha heals, yes, but he has given you something that when you begin to practice it, the fullness of well-being will be yours. Have a high concentration of vegetables in your food. Have a high concentration of roughage in your diet. Because, Brother Ken, you're in America now, don't be eating steak too much. Burger. Cut down. You see all your brethren. When they came to America, they were just like you. Look at their bellies now. I'm just saying, because me too, I was like that. When I came to America, my waist was 29. I won't tell you what it is now. So have a high concentration. Our diet is important. Exercise. God did not create us to just sit down all day long. Caleb was able to say, I will take that mountain at the age of 80, because he was a soldier and they were always walking. There were no cars then. Yes, there were donkeys, there were horses, but many people who could not afford that, they walked. Today, to go from the remote control to the TV, it's a problem. Now you don't even need to go to remotes. Just talk to the TV. It will change the channel for you. Eh? No longer, we don't walk. To go up a flight of stairs, one flight, we'll take elevator. Exercise is good for the body. Yes, the Bible says it's of little benefit when compared to spiritual exercise, but it's still of some benefits to your body. If you want wholeness and well-being, because God has not designed us to live a blessed life and for your knees always to be hurting, because your weight can't carry your knees any longer. For us to be using high blood pressure medication every day. Me, I use high blood pressure medication right now. I will not lie. But do you know something? Every time we fast, I don't need to take it. If I take it, I'll begin to feel dizzy because my blood pressure goes down when we fast. So I know part of mine is what? It's diet. It's the food. Is there too many calories in our food? Too many unneeded calories. And when we eat, portion also matters. Portion matters. You know, if you heap the amala, if amala is past your feast, it's too much. If Sister Shade makes... when you make... What do you make for, or what does Kimoy make for you? Yeah? Jamaican food. Like what? Okay, dumplings. When, don't take two handful of dumpling. One handful is enough. Let vegetable be two handfuls. That way, good health will be ours. One of the things God designed for us. Number two, that is for food. Well-being. On Friday, we are paying for peace. Peace is part of the well-being that God has designed for his children. When we talk about good health. Open, my brethren, please. Proverbs 17:22. Proverbs 17:22. Will David read, please? Proverbs 17:22.
A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones.
Thank you. A joyful heart, as he puts it in King James, is what? Is good medicine. In another version, it says what? A merry heart, like God's good, like medicine. A joyful heart. But a what? A crushed spirit. It dries the bones. In the people who wrote this in their own time, they said a joyful heart. The bone, what does the marrow, what does it produce? Blood. And the life of the animal is in the what? The blood. So what they are saying in essence is that when your spirit is crushed, when you are not joyful, when there's nothing in your life to rejoice about, your life is being sapped. But a merry heart, a joyful heart, a joyful spirit, is it's like good medicine to your body. It's like good medicine. You cannot find a joyful heart. You cannot find a crushed heart that dances. You cannot find a crushed spirit except by faith that sings praise. There was a TED, I don't know how many of you know about TED, where these people give talks. There was a TED talk I watched recently, and they did some research and found out that some people who live into old age in good health, that there were certain characteristics they noted about them. One of those characteristics was that they surrounded themselves with meaningful relationships. Meaningful relationships that brought joy into their lives. When I was at Howard University, there was a research I read about the effects of prayer and meditation. They were researching into why. What they did was that they grouped people into two. Some people who are sick in the hospital, they asked people to be praying for them. Another group, nobody prayed for them. And they saw that there was a significant difference between how quickly the people who are being prayed for, how they got well, how fast they got well, to the people who weren't being prayed for. And they saw that there was something about prayer, but they could not explain how it occurred. You know, if they do research, if it's medicine, they will package the medicine and begin to sell it. But they saw that there was something about prayer and meditation, not only for the people who are being prayed for, but the people who are praying themselves. There was something about good health for their lives. And I distilled it to one thing. Let not your heart be what? Be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. For your heart not to be troubled, which is what brings about a joyful heart, you have to take stress away from your life. And one of the things we were talking about on Friday at the prayer meeting, that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, is what God designed for us. But I would dare say, anytime we want to live like somebody else, our hearts will be troubled. Because we'll find that we have put ourselves on a pedestal, on a standard that we cannot maintain. For everybody, God has given grace as to where he has put you. And if you are not content with where God has put you, and where God has put somebody else is what you are targeting for, you will end up, you might end up there, but your health and many other things in your life will suffer for it. And when I'm talking about the wholeness of and well-being of the person, I'm not only talking about the health of your bodies. Sometimes it's your relationships that will suffer. Sometimes it's your finances that will suffer. But all these things, when they suffer, they bring your heart to be crushed. It doesn't lead for you. It doesn't lead for a joyful heart. It doesn't lead to a peaceful heart. And anytime we are crushed, life is being sapped from us. One other medicine that God has given us, which I will beg you, please, sometimes practice, is the Sabbath, rest. God has not made man for the Sabbath, but God has made the Sabbath for man. We are not one who says that we live by the Sabbath or we live for the Sabbath, but we observe the Sabbath to do our bodies good. If you walk, and do not rest, your health will eventually suffer for it. If you walk, and you do not pray, something in you will eventually suffer for it. And what am I saying? God is our Jehovah Rapha. He heals. But God has also given us instructions of how to live healthy, well-balanced, and fulfilled lives. If we will take these things into consideration and begin to practice them. If you take a day in the week where you shut out everything, focus on God, and rest, it will do your body good. Now, I'm not saying that you make it a law, which was what was in the Old Testament. You remember, if you are reading the book of Luke, remember when Jesus Christ healed somebody on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees, they said that, why can't that person come on the next day? Why should the person be healed on the Sabbath? That made me laugh. Come back tomorrow to be healed. That is, you are living, you are no longer observing the Sabbath. The law is more important than the people. observe the Sabbath. Observe a Sabbath. Rest. It does good for our bodies. I've talked about the well-being and I've talked about prayer. It's very important. Now, let me give you some scriptures. Let's quickly, Proverbs 4, 20 to 23. Can anybody just read quickly, please? Proverbs 4, 20 to
23. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Mm-hmm. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it is the spring, the issues of life.
Okay. Is health your what?
Hmm?
Health to your?
To your
flesh.
Flesh.
Proverbs 14:30. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy does what? Brings rottenness to the bones. Lastly, Proverbs 17:22. Cheerful heart is good medicine. A cheerful heart is good medicine. And we read Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. Sorry, can we read Proverbs 3, 1 and 2?
And bring you peace and prosperity.
One more time, please.
My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity.
Brothers and sisters, seeking God in the knowledge of his word and in prayer, it's not only for our spiritual lives. It has an impact on our bodies also. It has an impact on preserving us as his people. There's a reason why those people could go through for 40 years. The Bible said that their bodies, they didn't need the hospital when they were perambulating the deserts. There was no hospital. The Bible says that their bodies were not sick. They had food to eat. The Bible says that their sandals and their clothes, it did not wear. God preserves us. And God has given us scriptures where health and well-being is also for us as his people. It is not that we live in his blessings and then our old age is one of going from one doctor to another. Now, I'm not saying that Christians don't fall sick. Yes, even after doing all that, we can still fall sick. But there are certain things we do to prevent it. Because there's a possibility of you falling from a tree doesn't mean that you will now use the leaf of banana tree to now climb a tall tree. Did I murder that proverbs? I did. Or is it because your father is called, what did what I'm saying is that where you take precaution, the Bible has given us many things for healthy, well-balanced lives. The kind of diet we eat, the Bible tells us. The kind of rest we need, the Bible tells us. The kind of mindset that brings it, the Bible tells us. If we will only take a nugget, a little bit of what the Bible has told us. Just what we talked about today. It is not only, yes, we'll get to heaven, But before we get to heaven, we live in good health here. So it is not just in Jude chapter verse 1, I hope above all things that what? That you prosper and you be in good health. It is not just that we, you know how just say it. It's just us saying it. We live it. No matter how much you say it, if you are not putting things into practice that cause you to live it, it won't happen. It won't happen. So the people that eat amala, cut down your portion. The number of meats on the amala, cut down on the meats. Increase on the vegetable. Get rest. Let your heart ponder on things that are wholesome. Let your heart ponder on things that make you rejoice. Sing songs of praise. Dance in your house, not only in church on Sunday. Go for walks with your wife. Go for walks with your family. Take time out to have meaningful relationships with friends, friends of old, you know, that you had meaningful relationships with. Call them up. Don't be enemies with anybody. If you are having a grudge that you have to go on the other side of the road when you see the person coming, call the person, make amends. So just cut that out of your life. Believe me, Jehovah Rapha is our God that heals us, heals everything in our lives, and he's also giving us the medication for a well-balanced life. I will continue from that next time, by God's grace. Next week, I will be away from church. We'll be taking the whole choir to Canada. We're having a convention for the New Covenant Church. So Brother Peter, Brother Wale will be leading us in worship. And please, if you can sing, also join. Oh, you'll be here. Okay, so you can lead also. Amen. Actually, drag Sister Stacy's sick.